For inviting us here this evening. I'm very, very happy to be here with you all. My Telugu is very poor, so if it's all right with you, I will stick to English. Is that okay? Everyone understands? Okay. And plus, on top of that, unfortunately, I have a rather bad cold. So anyway, but we will persevere. So yes, Bhagavad Gita, the song of God. And as our Srila Prabhupada would say, Bhagavad Gita as it is. What do they say in Hindi? Yatha Rupa.
Yatha
Rupa.
Yatharupa.
Yatharupa. Hindi.
Yatharupam.
Yatharupada.
Okay. As it is. As it is. So, yeah. I will read from the very end of Bhagavad Gita, where Lord Krishna is summarizing and bringing his whole discussion to a conclusion. And as such, he's bringing out the main points. So I will read from the 18th chapter, Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Chapter 18, The Perfection of Renunciation, text 64, and we'll see how it goes, probably also 65 and 66. Can you hear okay over this thing? It's all right, yeah? Okay. So, text 64. Sarva guyataman buya. Shrime paramam vacha ishtosi me dridham deiti tato vaksyami te hitam. Translation. Because you are my very dear friend, I'm speaking to you my supreme instruction, the most confidential knowledge of all. Hear this from me, for it is for your benefit. Let me read the purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Lord has given Arjuna knowledge that is confidential, knowledge of Brahman, and still more confidential, knowledge of the Super Soul within everyone's heart. And now he is giving the most confidential part of knowledge, which is just surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. At the end of the 9th chapter, he has said, Manmana, just always think of me. The same instruction is repeated here to stress the essence of the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. This essence is not understood by a common man, but by one who is actually very dear to Krishna, a pure devotee of Krishna. This is the most important instruction in all Vedic literature. What Krishna is saying in this connection is the most essential part of knowledge, and it should be carried out not only by Arjuna, but by all living entities. Namah Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prista Uttanesha Matibhakti Vedanta Swami Kulamani Namaste Sarasvati Devi Kaurvani Prachani Nere Vishesha Shunyavadi Vastrityani Shatani Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Yadadha Sri Vasari Kaurvani Prachani Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchakapa Trudhyascha, Krupa Sindhu Vyevacha, Vaditaro Bhavani Abhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namah. So here we are, right at the end, the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita. And of course, in any book, everything builds up to the conclusion. This is generally how things work. So Bhagavad Gita is also the same in principle. Everything is building up and building up and coming to a conclusion here. This is verse 64. And in this chapter, there are only 78 verses, so there's just a few more verses to go. So yes, this is a very important point. Some people think, even quite some people think, that Bhagavad Gita does not exactly have a message or a point, some particular thing which it is trying to get across. Quite many people, they think like that, because of course, it is a fact that in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna briefly summarizes and discusses many processes, different forms of yoga in the first six chapters, Karma Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga, Sat Chakra Yoga, Sankhya Yoga, and others too. These are the main systems of yoga. And in the first six chapters of Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna discusses them quite extensively. Then Lord Krishna goes on to discuss different types of sacrifice, the worship of different deities, the performance of different types of austerities, performing different types of meditation. In Bhagavad Gita, we find all these things at least briefly mentioned. So, as a result of that, some people think that Bhagavad Gita is just presenting a wide range of options, and you can choose as you may like. But here we see at the end of Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna is now making it clear that this is not really the case. Rather, this is a type of misunderstanding by common people who are not really well versed in these things. They misunderstand like that. Srila Prabhupada, one way that he put it was that in this regard, that many people think that Bhagavad Gita is like a box of assorted chocolates. Or we might say here, a big box of assorted Diwali sweets. All different varieties. And And different people, of course, they like different sweets. Someone likes the burfi, someone may like the sandesh, someone may like rasgulla, rasmalai, whatever it may be. Someone may like the laddu. Different people have different tastes. Some may like the cham cham. Are you familiar with cham cham? Oh, you are? Okay. So some may like the cham cham. So Prabhupada made that point that some people think Bhagavad Gita is like that. It's just offering all these different varieties. And you can take whichever variety appeals to you. And one will choose the burfi, the other will choose the laddu, and another one will choose something else. And in other words, it is just a question of personal taste, personal choice. It is not necessarily that one is better than the other. It's just different people have different preferences. But because you choose the laddu and she chooses the burfi, does not mean the laddu is actually better. It's just him or her. It's a personal thing. But here now, Lord Krishna is making it clear that actually, in regards to Bhagavad Gita, this is not the case. Rather, Bhagavad Gita has a point. It has a message, which it is trying to get across, which Lord Krishna is trying to get across. Because here he says, Shrinume Paramam Vacha. Listen to my supreme words, my supreme instruction. Sarva Guyatamam. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has talked about knowledge which, to use the Sanskrit term, is guhyam. Guhyam means confidential, secret or confidential. Then Krishna has talked about knowledge which is guhyataram. Slightly different. Guhyataram means more confidential. And now he says, Sarva Guyatamam. Sarva means of all. Guyatamam means most confidential. So there are three degrees. One is just general confidential, Guyam. One is Guyataram, more confidential. And now this is Guyatamam, most. And indeed, he says, Sarva Guyatamam. Of all, it is the most confidential. And it is, Mehi Paramam Vacha, my supreme instruction. Yes, so of course, one would expect that, as we said, in any book. Generally things build up to a conclusion. And in Bhagavad Gita, why should it be any different? It's the same principle. It is building up, and now it is the conclusion. Everything is coming to the climax. So, what then is this Sarva Guyatamam, most confidential, and Paramamvacha, what is this supreme instruction of Krishna's? Well, in the very next verse, verse 65, and then continuing on into 66, Lord Krishna explains what is that supreme instruction. 65. Who knows 1865? I heard you're all big Bhagavad Gita scholars. 1865? So try to memorize some of them, it's very nice. 1865. Manmana. Kya? Manmana bhava madbhakto. Mariyaji mam namaskuru. Yes. Mame vaishyasi satyante pratijane priyosime. That is the next verse, 65. Manmana, always think of me. Bhava, mad bhakto, become my devotee. Mad yaji, worship me in the formal type of sense. And mam, namaskuru, offer your namaskars to me. Offer your respects, like that glorification. To me, to Krishna. And then Krishna says, Mame Vaishyasi, then you'll come to me. Satyante, see how he's emphasizing it. Mame Vaishyasi, Satyante, it's the truth. Pratijane, I promise, I guarantee it. Why? Because if you do these things, if you do these four things, then Krishna says, priyosime, you'll become my priya. You'll become very dear to me if you do like this. And then Krishna also takes it a step further, in 1866, does anyone know 1866? Are you just shy? You don't want to show off? Perhaps that's it. 1866, such a famous verse. Sarva dharma paricharya mam ekam sharanam vraja. Or?
Sarva dharmam parityajya mam ekam sharanam vraja.
Or?
Aham tam sarva dharmam mokheshwani.
Mokheshwani.
Very good. Thank you. Well done. Yes, yes. Sarva dharma parityajya. Just abandon, give up all other dharmas. And mam ekam, to me only, sharanam, take shelter, take refuge. Vraja, in this context, means in truth, in reality. And then, aham, I, tvam, your sarva pap. Sub-pap, all your pap, I will take all your pap, and you, moksha-ishyami, means, I will give you moksha, moksha-ishyami, I will give you moksha, ma-shuchana, you don't worry, you don't need to worry, yes, so, well, so, This is it. This is actually it. This is the Sarva Guhyatama, the most confidential knowledge. It is Mani Paramam Vacha, my supreme words, my supreme instruction. This is it. There you've got it. And all the other yogas and pujas and yajyas and tapasyas and dhyanas and whatever, all the other practices, Krishna says, sarva dharmam, all those dharmas, parichacha. If you understand some Sanskrit, you would know this word parichacha is a strong word. It's a strong word. It is not like Krishna saying, just put it aside. Not like that. It's much stronger than that. More or less, it's more or less like throw them away, actually. This word parichacha, this is Krishna's choice of word. Parichacha. So therefore Prabhupada translates it as abandon. It's strong. So now of course, so that means Krishna's saying that karma yoga, that sankhya yoga, that puja, those pujas to the devas and devis, and the sacrifices to your pitris, your forefathers, and whatever, all these things, that you can, you don't need to do them. All you need to do is Mam Ekam Sharanam. And what does Mam Ekam Sharanam look like? What would you do in practical terms? The activities of taking shelter of Krishna. Well, that is what Krishna has just mentioned in the previous verse 65, Manmana Bhava Madhbhakto, Madhyaji, Mam, Namaskuru. You do those four things. And this is what Mam Ekam Sharanam looks like. If you are Sharanam, as the Gujaratis particularly are very fond of singing, what is it? Shri Krishna Sharanam Mama. Right. Which is very nice. Very, very nice. Shri Krishna Sharanam Mama. Krishna, give me shelter, protection, like that. Yeah. Yes. So, if we are taking shelter, presenting ourselves to Krishna, here I am, please, Sharanam Mama, give me Sharanam. This is what we would do, according to Lord Krishna here. Manmana, think of him. Not think about whatever, day-to-day life. What's on television tonight? What's happening in the world of politics? What's happening at work? How is your health, etc., etc. This is all just ordinary talk. Or to think about these things, this is just ordinary thinking. But Krishna is saying, Manmana, you think of me. Of course, if you are to think of Krishna, you must know something about Krishna so you can think about him, isn't it? If I tell you Because I hear Teresha sometimes. And I tell you, there is one man in Moscow, and his name is something. And I want you to think about him, and that's all I say. How will you think about him? But if we tell you he's like this and that, and you know, give you a whole book about him. He does this, he does that, he likes this, he does not like that, he looks like this. And his personal qualities are such and such. Then you may be able to think about that person. So this is why, when it comes to Bhagavad Gita, you're all studying Bhagavad Gita, which is wonderful. But we should also, we should try to really familiarize ourselves with Bhagavad Gita. Or in other words, learn. Learn Bhagavad Gita. Our Guru, Guru Maharaj, is Srila Prabhupada. You see this big banner thing? On the lower level, on the left, on your left, see? This is Srila Prabhupada. His Guru Maharaj is the next one to the right, the second one from the left. His name was Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. He passed away, what was it, 1936. When he was seven, he had memorized the entire Bhagavad Gita at the age of seven. Anyway, we should learn a few verses because there is some special shakti in the words of the Lord, some special strength, power in the words of the Lord. Therefore it's nice, you know, at least to memorize a few verses like these two here, 1865, 1866. They're really good verses. They're really wonderful verses. Be a good idea to try to memorize them. So yes, Krishna's saying, all those other yogas, all the pujas to the Devi, Devatas, etc., 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 all Sarvadharma, all the Dharmas. Yeah, you can Parichaja, let us just say, put them aside and just focus on the Lord. Manmana Bhavamad Bhakto. And then everything will be complete. In saying that, we are not saying that those other dharmas of yoga and this and that, we are not, and Krishna is not, saying that these are wrong or bad or something of that sort. That is not the point. That is not the point. But the point is that this is Paramam Vacha. This is Sarva Gunatama, the most confidential, the most profound, and the supreme instruction. And just like if you have a million, or shall we say a billion, kwachas, and someone else, if you have a billion, someone else has 10 million. So your billion is better, but it doesn't mean his 10 million is nonsense or rubbish at all, does it? Of course not. It's 10 million kwachas. It may not be as much as it used to be, but at least it's something. So, Lord Krishna in saying this, he is not criticizing. He is not criticizing at all. in as much as if someone with a billion kwachas says, my position is better than yours with your 10 million. It is not really criticism. It's just an objective reality. So this is a very important point. When we study Bhagavad Gita, we should try and see it from this perspective. That actually Lord Krishna wants us, what Lord Krishna is trying to get across to us in Bhagavad Gita, ultimately, is that we should become his devotees and think of him means like study his instructions in Bhagavad Gita. In Srimad Bhagavatam, there are so many descriptions of his activities, how he killed many demons. Who knows? You tell me, who was the first asura, rakshasa, demon killed by Krishna when he appeared 5,000 years ago? Who was that?
Uttana.
Well done. Uttana. Yes. Yes. So we should know these things. We should know these things. Just like people go to the movies or watch television, they get just so drawn into it. Afterwards they discuss that, oh, in the movie, Shah Rukh Khan did this. And then, you know, someone, Amitabh Bachchan did that. And they kind of memorize the story. Yes. So we should try to learn these pastimes of the Lord. Learn Ramayana. You know, in the childhoods of some of you who are older, and going back before into generations before, you know, before television arrived, then I'm sure you're aware in India what people would do in the evenings. They didn't watch television because there was no television. Some people would think, what? No television. How did they live? Was there life before television? So, but no, they would sit around and the elders would gather and they would read Ramayana, they would read Mahabharata. I know this. So many people told me that, older people. Yeah, it was very nice. And when you hear these things regularly, then you become able to think about the Lord, because you know something about him. But if we don't read these things, how are we going to think about him? One of our devotees in America met some American Christian religionist who was, I don't know if you have them here, they call them born again Christians. They're very fanatical and very pushy and aggressive. You'd have one? And so anyway, they met on the street somehow, and so our devotee said, yeah, you know, I don't want to argue with you, but we, you know, we're just trying to develop love for God. And the Christian man said, oh God, love for God. Oh, I love God so much. Oh, I just love him so much. I love him too much. And the devotee said, well, tell me something about him then. And the man said, ah, God, he's so great. And he's so wonderful. And he loves us all. And he's so great. And he's so wonderful. And he loves us all. And he's so great. You get the idea. So, manmana, we are to think about the Lord. So we must know something about the Lord so we can think about him. Therefore we have to read these literatures. And bhava mad bhakto. Bhava means become. My devotee, my bhakta. Of course, people are devoted to different, like, sort of missions and different types of things. Some people are devoted to some political mission, isn't it? You know, Mahatma Gandhi, he was so devoted to the upliftment of the so-called Harijans. Of course, everybody's a Harijan, but you know, the poor people and various things, and he was struggling for that. You know, of course, in the end, he wasn't really successful, I suppose, because Nehru became the Prime Minister. Right? Anyway, such is life. You can't win them all. But he was very devoted. And it was all he would do. Just, it was his life. And some people, they're very devoted to a cause. They're very devoted to work. To work for their boss. Some people, they work for one boss their whole life. And that's all. And they just work and work and work. And they will do overtime any time. Some people are devoted to their nation. If there's a war, they insist on joining the army. They must be there. And there in the front lines, they'll give their lives for their country. But the various causes and people who we are devoted to, or people are devoted to, in many cases they let them down. Like Gandhi himself, at least many people say, he felt let down in the end, because Nehru, you know, was a different type of person. He was very westernized. He was not vegetarian, right, Nehru?
No.
I don't think so. And, you know, Gandhi was staunch about all these things. And Nehru thought that things from England were the best. And Gandhi wanted everyone to make their own clothes and all that. So, in the end, he was disappointed. And in Russia, like I said, I go to Russia, as you're aware, I'm sure, not so long ago, 20 years ago, it was a communist country. And many people were devoted to communism. But then the leaders decided, we'll stop communism and we will become a capitalist country. Now, those leaders, now, they're all multi-millionaires. Because they're the leaders. And they're able to take advantage of the situation. But the common people who are following them, who were following them, shoot, it's amazing. You know, in those days, you could buy a house, not a nice, very nice house, but a house, you could buy a house for like $15 or like, say, 50 rubles. Now, $1 is 30,000 rubles. And people, they saved up their money, means like 100 rubles, enough to buy a nice house. And then in a few years, with your life savings, 100 rubles, you could not buy 1 liter of milk. You could not buy 1 kilo of alu. You couldn't buy anything. But the leaders, oh, they're doing very well. So people get let down. People are devoted to causes, but then they get let down. Yes. But Krishna, if we think of Krishna, then it's not that we become tired of thinking of it, we have to think of something else. If we devote ourselves to Krishna, then He will not let us down. He will not let us down. Krishna always protects His devotees. As I think I mentioned the other day, the other evening, look at me. I have not worked in 41 years. I did work for some years. I have not worked for money for 41 years. I have not been paid ek paisa. But I have not died of starvation yet, as you can see. But rather, actually, I travel the world. Day after tomorrow back to South Africa, on the 10th to India. Yes. And then back to South Africa after a few weeks. Then to Mauritius in December, then to Europe in January, back to India at the end of January. Many people think, what an amazing life. Anyway, it keeps us out of mischief. But the thing is, I haven't worked for years and years. But Krishna's looking after me. Actually, it's a fact. So, madmana bhava mad bhakto. We should think of Krishna and not just some ordinary subject matter. We should devote ourselves to Him, dedicate ourselves to trying to please Him. And then, madhyaji, we should worship Him. And not worship Bollywood. Not worship Bollywood. Yes. And Mam Namaskru, offer our respects to Krishna. You know, I remember some years ago, actually probably 15, Amitabh Bachchan came to Durban, South Africa. And he came to the shopping center across the road from our main temple, big shopping mall. And I think every Indian person in Durban, and there's about 500,000 of them, I think every single one of them was there. The whole of the suburb, it's called Chatsworth, the whole of Chatsworth, you couldn't move your car. You know, for kilometers, every road was blocked because Amitabh Bachchan was coming. Anyway, you know, actually Amitabh Bachchan is a friend of our movement, and he does attend our programs you know, to some degree. So he's not a bad person, but he's not worth worshipping. He's a pleasant fellow, but he's not worth worshipping. But rather, actually, he, like many people, needs to become more serious about his spiritual life. That's what he needs to do. Yes, so instead of worshipping ordinary people and glorifying them, we should worship Krishna because he's glorious. You know, Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago. Lord Ram appeared even long before that. Of course, they are the same person. But now, thousands of years later, their birthdays are celebrated by millions of people all over the world. Millions celebrate all over the world. You know, I don't think Amita Bachchan's birthday or Raji Kapoor's will be celebrated after another generation or so. I go to Russia and there, Lenin is still worshipped, actually. There's statues of Lenin in every single town square in the entire country, without exception. And on his birthday, Janamdin Mubarak, Lenin, on his birthday, some old people come from the communist days. They put some red flowers at his Charan Kamal. At his feet, and they give some speeches about how great Lenin was, and then they go home, and then who comes? The pigeons, and they land on Lenin's head, and we will not talk about what they do, but they do. And it's just a few old people. And in another 50 years, I assume nobody will really bother. And even now in India, they celebrate Gandhi Jayanti. But it's reducing, and the young people are not so interested. And after another generation or two, he's just going to be another obscure figure. But Krishna, Ram, thousands of years later, millions of people having these big programs all over the world. This is because Ram, Krishna, they're not ordinary people like us, or not even just sort of special ordinary people, like Lenin or Gandhi, like that. So yes, we should try and do like this. This is the message of Bhagavad Gita. This is actually the message. And in the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, verse 3, I will not embarrass you by asking if you know it, because it is a little more obscure, but it's very nice verse. Sa evayam maya tetya yogprota puratana bhaktosi me sakha cheti rahasyam hyetad utamam. This very ancient science of the relationship with the Supreme is today told by me to you because you are my devotee, as well as my friend. Bhaktosi me sakha cha. Sakha cheti. You're my bhakta and my sakha. You're my devotee and my friend, and can therefore understand the transcendental mystery of the signs. In order to understand this, see, you've all been studying Bhagavad Gita, and even all your lives you've been familiar with it to some degree. I don't know how many of you have really got this point clear, that in Bhagavad Gita Krishna has a specific point he's trying to make. I don't know how many of you really had got that. I know many people who had not got that, but they thought it's just like, you know, sort of like an encyclopedia, just full of all sorts of information about religious, spiritual things. But Krishna is making the point here. In order to understand it, in order to enter into the mystery and not become confused, then bhaktosi me sakha cha. You must be my devotee and my friend. Then you will be able to understand. Otherwise, you know, you'll get lost. You'll get lost in Bhagavad Gita. So it is not really so much a question of how intelligent you are in academic terms. You have university degrees or something like that. That's not really the point. The point in terms of how are people going to understand it and get the message, the point is, in terms of quality of consciousness, not how much brain power, but quality of consciousness. There's an interesting story, Narad. No doubt you've heard of Narad, the traveling sage, travels around playing his veena, singing Narayan. So one time he was traveling around, and he was actually on his way to the kingdom of God, because he goes and comes. So he was on his way, and on the way he met a cobbler. And you all know, according to the Vedic or Indian sort of social structures, mochi, cobbler, this is lower caste, isn't it? Yeah. So, but even though he's a cobbler and he's working with leather and these things and not clean, but still, at heart, he was a great devotee. He was always glorifying the Lord as he was doing his work. So Narad met him, and the cobbler asked Narad, if you are going to see the Lord, can you ask him when or if ever I will go back to him, to the kingdom of God? And Narad said, sure. And he carried on. And then he met a very proud caste Brahmin who knew all the mantras and tantras and yantras. I mean, not all Brahmins are proud, but there's definitely some who are. So, I mean, I know many Brahmins, and many of them are extremely nice. But this one, he thought he was big religionist. And he said to Narad, oh, you're going to see the Lord. Well, could you ask him when I'm going back to him? I know it will be soon because I'm so qualified. But I'd like to know when, if it will be next week or in a couple of weeks, because I've got a few loose ends to tie up, a few things to get done, and then I can go. And Narad said, okay, I'll ask. And off he went, and he met the Lord. So he asked Krishna, about these people. And the Lord told him, that cobbler is such a humble devotee, such a genuine devotee, so sincere. You can tell him he is coming back to me at the end of this month. But that proud, arrogant Brahmin who thinks he's big man, you can tell him that even though I'm God, even I don't know when he's coming back to me. Because he's just too much. He really thinks he's too much. And Narada was a little puzzled. And the Lord said, if you want to know why I have said this, then when you meet these people, tell them that when we were together here, I was busy threading an elephant through the eye of a needle and see how they react. And then you'll understand why I've said this. So Narada thought it was a little strange, but anyway, he went back. So first he met that proud Brahmin, and the Brahmin said, oh, you're back. So tell me, when am I going? Is it going to be, you know, this evening or tomorrow morning? And Narada said, well, look, you know, I'm very sorry to say, but actually the Lord told me that even though he's God, even he doesn't know when you're going back. And the Brahmin said, oh, what? That's crazy. I'm so qualified. Of course I'm going back to Godhead soon. And Narada said, well, look, by the way, while I was there, the Lord was busy threading an elephant through the eye of a needle. And that puffed up Brahmin said, what? That's ridiculous. An elephant through the eye of a needle. You can't do that. That's crazy. Get out. And he threw Narada out. And Narada understood, yeah, he doesn't have much faith. So Narada then went to that cobbler. And they told him, actually, the Lord said, you're coming back to him at the end of this life. And the cobbler was so happy. And Narada said, but wait a minute, just hang on. While I was with the Lord, you know what he was doing? He was threading an elephant through the eye of a needle. What do you think of that? And that cobbler became even more happy. My Lord is so wonderful. An elephant through the eye of a needle, that's just great. And he was now just ecstatic. And Narada said, do you believe me? You believe me that he's threading an elephant through the eye of a needle? They were sitting under a big banyan tree. So the cobbler picked up a banyan-like seed pod, which has all the seeds in it, type of thing. And he opened it up and said, look in here, see, in this little thing like this, there's, you know, hundreds of seeds. Each one of them can produce a tree as big as this, and this is bigger than many elephants. So, in other words, there are hundreds of banyan trees inside this little thing, you could say. So for the Lord to put an elephant through the eye of a needle, that's nothing for him. He'll find a way. And he was so happy. And Narada understood, yes, what the Lord said was right. So that cobbler, you know, he was not a well-educated person. Perhaps he wasn't even educated at all. Maybe all he knew was how to do his work. So it wasn't a question of, you know, powerful brain, academic, PhD, some sort of something like that. He was able to understand. He actually understood. He actually understood that the Lord was capable of doing that because of the quality of his consciousness, his sincerity, his humility as a devotee of the Lord. So this is the main thing. To think of the Lord, become his devotee, and try to render service to a very hungry, then he gives you his mercy, and then you can understand anything, actually. Yeah? You'll understand, ultimately, everything by the grace of the Lord. Prabhupada, he was a very elevated, pure devotee of Krishna. Once someone asked him, "Do you know everything? Do you know everything?" Prabhupada said, "No, I don't. But Krishna does, and he tells me." So, when you have the mercy of the Lord, all doors can open, and there's no obstacle big enough to stop you. Hare Krishna. I don't know, do we have time for a question or comment from anyone?
Maybe one question.
Yes?
Having said this, this is the supreme knowledge and the supreme instruction for this Sakha by the Lord Krishna.
Yes.
Why and how it is Guhyam, the most confidential, how and why?
Right. Because, you know, there's sort of different perspectives on that, but one thing is, a diamond, or, you know, some special diamond, it's something very, very special. But it's not accessible to everybody. Not everybody can just walk in and just buy some super exotic diamond jewelry. It's something special for, you know, at least you could say financially special people. So the thing is, in this material world, This world is for people, essentially, who don't want God. This is what this world is for. This world is called Durga. And of course, Durga is the presiding deity. Durga. If you analyze the term, Durga. Gat means to go. Difficult to go. Gachati. Difficult to go. Yes. So, you know, it's very difficult to get out of this world. It's very difficult to make progress in this world. There are 8,400,000 species, 84 lakhs. Human beings are the top 4 lakhs, the top. And human beings includes the devas and devis. Yeah? They're part of the 4 lakhs, the top 4 lakhs. 4 lakhs out of 84 means approximately 5%. We are the top 5% of all the living beings in this world. As humans. But look, it's difficult for us, isn't it? You have to work hard, and who knows really what's going to happen. Political situation may change, your health may change drastically. So it's a very difficult place, this world. Durga. Very difficult to go anywhere to make progress in this world is difficult, to get out of this world is difficult, because it is a place for people like that, people who want to forget God. Yes. So, even if, like our movement, we're active all over the world, trying to distribute this knowledge, but so many people, you give them the knowledge, and they say, no thanks, I'd rather watch TV. No time. Come visit the temple. No time. It's how it works a lot. So in that sense, it's confidential. Means like it's an open secret. People, we're trying to distribute it. Every year we distribute millions of books. Millions. But not so many are really taking it up every year. So in that sense it's confidential. Because people's minds can't enter it so easily. Even you explain to them and they may just not get it. Yeah. So in that sense it's confidential. There is also confidential in the sense, you know, in English there's an old saying, don't throw pearls in front of swine. Swine means pigs. Don't throw pearls in front of pigs, because pigs will not know what to do with it. So, and for that matter, if I may, Lord Krishna says, just a couple of verses after these few verses we were looking at, Lord Krishna says, let's see, this is now verse 67, this confidential knowledge may never be explained to those who are not austere or devoted or engaged in devotional service, nor to one who is envious of me. Yeah. Na bhaktaya. Na abhaktaya. Not to those who are abhakta. Not devotees. Like that. Yeah. So, in other words, we have to be a little careful who we give it to. Yeah. We try to see if the people have some qualification, if they're a little open to it. Then we can explain things. You know, we mentioned the born-again Christians, with all due respect. You know, in their ways, I suppose they mean well. But having spoken with many of them, and learned that it's not worth it speaking to them. You know, having tried to discuss with them and finding it's impossible, cannot speak to them because they're just too fanatical. It's just not worth the trouble. At least in many, many cases, you try and explain something to them, they are not interested. Yeah. So that element is there too. Different elements of them in the picture. But still, Krishna wants us to try to give people the opportunity. So nicely, in a responsible way, we should try to give people the opportunity to understand. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Okay, that was Ek Prashna. I think we'll conclude here. And Kapora Hare.
Mm-hmm.
we'll have Arati now.
Arati.
Kirtan and Arati.
Okay. So we can stand up for the Arati.